To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a sunset on the horizon that paints the clouds a soft red comes to us from an unknown Facebook friend who shared the scene on social media on or around April 23rd, 2021. I continue to clean out my phone's photo archive closet, and if this photo is yours, give me a heads up and I'll update the blog to give you the photo credit you deserve. Anyway, it is Friday, thank God, and I am looking forward to the end of the day today because I will be reunited with my beautiful wifey, Tammy Lynn, and we have plans to go to Saratoga tonight to see Cabrini, a biopic of Francis Xavier Cabrini, the first U.S. citizen to be canonized by the Catholic Church. Cabrini was an Italian-American Catholic religious sister and saint. She founded the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, a religious institute that was a major support to her fellow Italian immigrants to the United States. Cabrini originally had a heart to be a missionary to China, but the Lord, through Pope Leo XIII, sent her to America to care for the growing and impoverished Italian immigrant population there. Despite many difficulties, Cabrini and the Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus went on to found 67 missionary institutions to serve the sick and the poor. And 9 years after her death in 1917, the sisters realized Cabrini's goal of becoming missionaries to China. I can't wait to see this incredible woman's story on the big screen and to be inspired by it, to be remembered for our faith in Jesus and service to God's kingdom is what I consider to be the ultimate goal in life. So let's be like Cabrini and draw close to the Lord in this season of Lent and see where he leads us. It is the 21st day of Lent, and so we continue my personal walk through Graciel Grindel's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. In this walk through Grindel's devotional, it is our hope that we will get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw closer to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday, or Easter. And so we continue on journey day 21. I believe, and Martin Luther writes, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father in eternity, and also a true human being, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned human being. He has purchased and freed me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. He has done all this in order that I may belong to him, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true. Let this be the summary of this article, that the little word, Lord, simply means the same as Redeemer, that is, he who has brought us back from the devil to God, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, and keeps us there. Indeed, the entire gospel that we preach depends on the proper understanding of this article. Upon it all, our salvation and blessedness are based, and it is so rich and broad that we can never learn it fully. That was from Martin Luther. And the biblical wisdom that's paired with that passage is from Romans 8:31-33, which says, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. And at this point, our devotional asks us to sit in silence for meditation. And so if you'd like, you can pause the podcast or stop reading and sit quietly and reflect on what Martin Luther had to say and that passage from Romans 8:31-33. And when you're ready, we can go to the questions to ponder, which the first one asked, why did God have to go to such lengths to save us? Was the death of Christ necessary? If yes, why? If not, why not? It was because of his love for us that God went to such great lengths to save us, John 3:16. Yes, Jesus had to die for us. Scripture explains this in 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15 and 21, where the Apostle Paul wrote, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And speaking of our suffering for our faith, the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:21-25, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. God demanded a sacrifice to atone for our sins, and Christ, being fully God and fully man, died so we could live and live with and for God forever. For more on this, I'm also sharing a link to GodQuestions.org's answer to the question, why did Jesus have to die, on the blog as well. So if you want more, it's there to check it out. The second question is, people prize their independence. Does that make it difficult to say, I belong to Christ? Yes, it does. Our selfishness and demanding our independence are what will separate vast multitudes from God and send them to perdition. We can't save ourselves, and living independently of God is the pathway to perdition, or will cause Christians to fail to live the abundant life that God intends for them to have. And the next question is, when do we start to live under him in his kingdom and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness? Now, in this life, in the next life, both now and then? Explain. Eternal life starts the moment you put your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And our purpose in life as Christian is to fill the Great Commission, to go and make disciples, to teach others everything that Jesus taught so they can experience his wisdom and be saved by his love. We serve the kingdom now on earth, and will continue to do that in heaven or when Jesus returns to rule and reign here before bringing a new heaven and new earth for eternity. It's an amazing mystery to consider. We will live forever and be with God. So yeah, it starts now, and now in this life and the next, and forevermore. Anyway, that moves us along to our psalm fragment, which is Psalm 68:19-20, which says, blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belongs escape from death. Amen. And the journal reflections ask us to write on what it means for you to have a Lord or Redeemer in your own life. I write a blog 6 days a week to try to express the joy and gratitude that I have to have a Lord and Redeemer in Jesus Christ. Having a Lord and Redeemer means everything to me. It means life. It means love. It means freedom. It means purpose. God rescued me from myself, sin, death, and the grave. It means everything. And the next prompting is, do you remember a time when you felt as though God had snatched you from death and brought you back to God, or from sin to righteousness? If so, write about that, the experience. If not, can you imagine such an experience? I do remember when I felt that Christ snatched me from death and brought me back to God. It's my entire journey from March 2010. celebrating my rescue and life in Christ and bringing me from a life of sin to increasing righteousness, freedom, and joy. See my blog for more. LOL. And the final prompting is, if someone asked you, what is the entire gospel, how would you answer it? Put your faith in Jesus to be forgiven and to receive eternal life, and then follow him and serve his kingdom. Have peace with God through faith in Jesus and live. That's pretty basic. Obviously, it's a big question. And you can have a big presentation for the entire gospel, but that's it. You know, we have to be forgiven and made new in Christ alone. And then guess what you do after that? You serve God and his kingdom. You follow him with the way you live. You forsake the world and the sin, and you follow after Jesus to do what he would have you do. That's life. That's eternal life, and it starts now. Anyway, we move along to prayers for the life of faith, and it prompts us to thank God for the great gift of Jesus for you and pray that you and others you know will come to understand more deeply and fully the depths of this gift. Lord, thank you for the great gift of Jesus for me. For me. Thank you, Lord. I pray that I and others will come to understand more deeply the full depths of this gift. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. And finally, the prayer for today from our journey is, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have, through great suffering and sacrifice, redeemed me from death, sin, and the power of the devil. Keep your grace ever before me today as I live and work in your world. Amen. And that moves us along to today's Bible verse from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verses come from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And it shares a big section of Scripture today from Mark 4, 1 through 20. And so we'll get busy reading that. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered under him, around him, was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, never hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Today's verses fall under the eighth point of our Counseling Reference Guide resource section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And that eighth point is, do not allow the deceitfulness of wealth to crowd out the word. Today's verses tell the parable of the sowing of the seed and share the scary indication that the world and the deceitfulness of wealth can stop us from being the people God created us to be, or could imply it keeps us out of God's kingdom altogether. So forsake the world and follow Jesus. False converts believe they are saved, but they are not. Some of which are undoubtedly worshiping wealth instead of God. And one day we'll discover a great disappointment when they see they failed to do what God had for them to do, and or are turned away as someone God never knew. So, we're to be fruitful. And, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, love, goodness, kindness, gentleness, patience and self-control. And Jesus said of his disciples that they obey my commandments and they show love for one another. So, and they forgive, and they're not defined by their sin. They're defined by their faithfulness and righteousness. So that's when you follow Jesus. It'll be very apparent that a change of life has happened, that you have new life in Christ, and that you're not just somebody, a sinner saved by grace, living in sin, and never touched in your heart to repent. If you have a hardness of heart for changing and becoming more like Christ and sharing the gospel, that might indicate there's a big problem with your faith, and a big problem with your eternal destiny. So, that's you. Draw close to the Lord this Lenten season, and follow in the way you should go. You're suffering or hurting or have sin in your life, see what God has for you. Go to a local church, get connected to a faith community, and try to follow him. Anyway, as always, we invite you to go to mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist our brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And with that, he always asks us to read a chapter. Evening reading would be Luke 10 today. And from Luke 10, he shares from verse 24, which says, "Many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it." And Stephen Alford writes, "O Lord, I do bow in deep heart gratitude when I consider your grace, which has made me a seer and a hearer of things which prophets and kings have desired to look into but have failed. I adore and worship you for the fact that you have in infinite love revealed your Father to me, and that now, through the knowledge of God, I possess eternal life. I do pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to continue to reveal the glories of the Father as I read and meditate upon your word. For the sake of your name and glory, amen." Amen. The Father's been revealed to us. We know who God is. He's the Creator. We know who Jesus is. He's our Savior. We know our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, hopefully. He's our Comforter. And he leads us into all truth. So, and he'll show us things to come. So keep your eyes open. The thing that's coming tonight is hopefully a decent day of work and, moving to be inspired by that Christian film, hopefully. Hopefully very Christian film, Cabrini, about the Catholic saint who cared for orphans and the poor and who had a heart for missions and served the kingdom. And that's what we try to do here. We try to encourage people to have a heart to share the gospel and to serve the kingdom of God just by encouraging people to follow Jesus and by being an example, by repenting and showing that you've been changed. My testimony is one of freedom. I was lost and it was found. I was in a different religion when I got saved. I was into drugs and alcohol and sexual immorality, and I fed the flesh in terms of lots and lots of food, and was unhealthy. And the Lord has changed all of that. He brought me to faith in Jesus Christ. I'm clean and sober. I'm sexually pure. I keep everything in the bounds of my marriage and nothing on the outside at all. And I've crucified the flesh in terms of my body. I've shaped it and remade it to be healthy and somewhat muscular, I must say. You know, God did a great work in me, and it's not done yet. We're going to see what happens next. I've been led to lead ministries and help people to understand the truth about who they are in Christ. That's why we do the blog and the podcast, because the great hope and victory and freedom that he's given me, and I just want to share it, that it's possible. You know, there's lots of people in the church. There's lots of people who are Christians, but they haven't followed the Lord they haven't followed the Lord into the victory and healing that he has for them. He doesn't want you to suffer. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy in that, you know, as we've given into the flesh and we're so locked in the lie of who we are that we don't know the truth is possible, that we can be free and we can be healthy. As much as it depends on the Lord, of course, and what we do to our bodies. You know, repentance got to include the body. That's been a big revelation for me in the last year. And I'm thankful for it. I continue in it. And I encourage anyone listening or reading to follow the Lord. Anyway, let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus and the Holy Spirit and for your creation and all the love you put in my life and my family and friends and this incredible journey of faith that began anew in 2010 when I put my faith in Jesus and decided to follow him as much as I could. And you've been patient and kind and led me from victory to victory and from one thing to another and from brokenness to wholeness and from bitterness to joy. And from, you know, into love. You know. So thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray for anyone listening or reading today that you come alongside them in their prayer request and their life of faith. Encourage them to follow you. We pray for you to bless them. Lord, and we pray for you to go before us today. Open our eyes to the things you want us to see. Lead us in the way we should go. Because all we want to do is represent you in your kingdom, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.